our scripture reading.
For our scripture reading today, we'll be singing song number 95. Number 95. Earth holds no treasures but perish with using, however precious they be. Yet there's a country to which I am going. Heaven holds all to me. Heaven holds all to me. Brighter His glory will be. Joy without measure will be my treasure. Heaven holds all to me. Out on the hills of that wonderful country, happy, contented, and free, loved ones are waiting and watching my coming. Heaven holds all to me. Heaven holds all to me. Brighter its glory will be. Joy without measure will be my treasure. Heaven holds all to me. Why should I long for the world with its sorrows, when in that home o'er the sea, millions are singing the wonderful story. Heaven holds all to me. Heaven holds all to me. Brighter its glory will be. Joy without measure will be my treasure. Heaven holds all to me. It's mark number 111, and we'll plan to sing that after this morning's lesson.
Scripture reading this morning will be from Matthew 6, verse 19 through 21. Matthew 6, 21 through 19 through 21. Lay not up for yourself treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For there is treasures, there will your heart be also.
In the verses just read, there is a play on words. The text says, literally, treasure not for yourselves treasures. Another possible rendering would be, stop treasuring treasures. When we think about compromises and the concessions that Christians can make, the information in Matthew 6 introduces us to a big one. We as God's people can make compromises, we can make concessions regarding our treasures. People consider a number of things to be treasure. People may value a photograph, it may be a piece of art, an antique, an automobile, coins, or something else. But in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus talked to his people about pursuing a specific kind of treasure. He instructed his people to treasure up things in the kingdom of God. What did the Lord mean? When he talks about treasuring up or laying up things in the kingdom of God, how do we do it? What's involved? I want to this morning share about three references with you, and then, having laid that foundation, provide three additional points about what Jesus has to say in Matthew 6. I want to begin with what Jesus meant. A good cross-reference for the information in Matthew 6:20 is Matthew 19, verse 21. In Matthew 19, we learn about a young man who came to see Jesus. This young man asked what he needed to do to have eternal life. The Lord, since the Old Testament was in force, said to this young man, you need to keep the commandments. That is the Old Testament law. And this young man said, I've been faithful. I have done that. Tell me, Jesus, what I lack. Well, the Lord's response to this young man, if you found Matthew 19, is found in verse 21. Jesus said unto him, if thou wouldest be perfect, go, sell what thou hast, and give to the poor. And notice this, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me. There may be some other things that are associated with laying up treasure in heaven, but we know from Matthew 19:21 at least part of what's involved. We lay up treasure in heaven by helping people. When we aid others, we lay up treasure in a place where it cannot be destroyed. Our treasure is stored in an area where it cannot be diminished as far as its value is concerned, and it is going to be completely safe. The Lord's thought is explained by another story. This one comes from the book of Luke, the 12th chapter. Here Jesus told about a man, a farmer, who had a bumper crop. It was a good year. This man decided that he was going to tear down his barns and build bigger barns. He had reached a time in his life when he had an abundance of earthly treasure, and yet Jesus had this to say about this wealthy man. So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. God called him a fool, said that he was going to die, that he had made a mistake, and Jesus said that laying up treasure on the earth was an unwise choice. And that's usually true concerning the treasure that is laid up for self. If we're storing up things for self, we're not storing up heavenly treasure. The reference that leaves us with no doubt concerning what Jesus meant by heavenly treasure in Matthew chapter 6 is found in Paul's letter to Timothy, the final chapter, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 17 through 19. And again, these verses clinch Paul's point. He said in the closing remarks, charge them that are rich in this present world, that they be not high-minded, nor have their hope set on the uncertainty of riches, but on God who giveth richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, that they be ready to distribute, willing to communicate. And then verse 19, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on life eternal, which is life indeed. We have, as we look at these three references, some idea now as to what heavenly treasure is. We lay up treasure when we try to help people, when we try to do good things, when we engage in activities that are consistent with God's will. We lay up treasures on the earth when we store up things that we like, we want, and we enjoy. In Matthew 6, Jesus said that we need to make heavenly treasures our priority. In spite of this command, it is very easy to compromise what the Lord said. We can try to load up on the heavenly treasure and at the same time decide that we're going to load up on the earthly treasure too. It's not uncommon for people to think that they can have a large quantity of both and still please God. But in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus said that it cannot operate that way. In Matthew 6:24, he says that it's not possible to serve two masters. Now in life, we know that we can cheer for two different teams. I've been at some games sometimes where there were two competing people on the field, two different teams, and people cheered for both. And that's possible sometimes. We may be in a situation where we work for two different companies. It's possible for people sometimes to head two different organizations. So sometimes there are occasions in life where we can be involved with two things, even though they may be competitors. But in Matthew chapter 6, you'll notice that Jesus talked about a master. And that describes someone who owns a slave. Maybe an illustration that we could use for it would be a person who says, I'm going to serve in the nation X over here. I'm going to serve in their army. Well, if a person is completely dedicated to that nation and to their army, would it be possible for that same person to come over here to an opposing nation, an opposing force, and say, I'm going to be completely dedicated to your military as well? That would not work. That's impossible. And that's really what Jesus was saying in Matthew chapter 6. A slave was someone who was completely dedicated to a person. And the Lord said that we can only serve one person. We cannot be in two armies. If we try to do that, we have made a compromise and we're out of God's kingdom. In Matthew chapter 6, he said that our emphasis needs to be on the spiritual and the eternal. And one of the reasons for this is found in Matthew 6, verse 19, the end of the verse. The Lord said, if we compromise in the area of our treasure, we're going to be disappointed. He said that those who pursue earthly treasures will lose what they have. And Jesus described, if you'll look at the text, this loss in different ways. He first spoke of a moth. And we have those bugs here. I've never been to the land of Israel, but if the books are right, because of the climate, moths are a terrible problem in Palestine. They're certainly not the only pest that's destructive, but they are a good example of a destructive pest. Jesus also spoke of rust. This word was a rather comprehensive term that described corrosion or corruption. One source says that the word translated rust can describe anything that adversely affects an object. Now, there are a lot of things in life that can adversely affect the value of something. There's wear and tear. There's water damage, fire damage. We find that simply the passage of time sometimes takes its toll on items of value. And there are some other hazards that Jesus did not mention. People lose treasures in floods and hurricanes and earthquakes. And if you look at Matthew 6, you find that the Lord went on to say that there are some treasures which can actually be consumed. And that word means that things can be ruined, things can be destroyed. Well, let's suppose that we take out all the precautions and our treasure is not destroyed by fire, it's not destroyed by water, it's not destroyed by wear and tear, the passage of time does not do any damage to it. Jesus said that there's still another possible problem, and that is the problem of theft. He spoke about this in verses 19 and 20, people breaking through and stealing things. If you look at that word breakthrough, you may have a footnote which says dig through. And that would be a good way to render the original text. In this day and time, people had mud houses. So it was not uncommon for people, perhaps as they had left their mud house, for someone to come up with a sharp instrument and to literally dig or to literally pick their way into somebody's house so that they could get out a person's treasures. If we compromise in the area of what our real treasures are, what do we have? We have something that's temporary. We are left with something that very likely will decay and something that people may try to steal. What Jesus said in Matthew 6:19 shows that making compromises in the area of our treasure is a bad choice. In verses 22 and 23, the Lord added a second point. He said that the wrong kind of treasure will corrupt us. If we're focused on the wrong thing, then we will be destroyed. Jesus described this in terms of light and darkness. He said that if we concentrate on the wrong thing, our whole body is going to be full of darkness. In 23b, he said, how great is the darkness? I recently read a column from someone who is a well-known writer in the United States. This man was talking about a conversation he recently had with some friends. He said that during the course of the meal, those people who were around the table with him began to talk about the stock market. And one of his friends said, I do not open my mail anymore. Why bother? The writer then said everybody at the table knew that he was not talking about wedding invitations. The dinner guest was talking about his retirement funds. There is nothing wrong with planning about the things that are going to come our way in life. There's nothing wrong with making retirement plans. You may remember that Jesus commended the steward who traded and did well while his master was away. But as we look at Matthew 6, we find that investing comes in two different forms. There is short-term investing and there is long-term investing. The short-term investing is related to this life. We need to plan. We need to be prepared for a period of about 50 years. The long-term investing that we need to be associated with is the one that lasts for eternity. So many people become involved with the short-term investment, that is a period of 30, 40, 50, 60 years, that they put in second place the long-term investment, or they simply forget about it. The Lord says in Matthew chapter 6 that we do not want to compromise in this area. We want to give attention to both and place the right priority on both. If we fail to do that, we've compromised the gospel. You may remember Judas, the one who betrayed the Lord. He was greedy. He decided that he would opt for the short-term investment plan. Did he make a good choice? We also remember, I think, the story in Matthew chapter 13, the sower who sowed some seed. Jesus, in Matthew's account of the parable, says that the seed fell among the thorns. And when he interprets the parable, he says this, the deceitfulness of riches choke the word. Compromising on our treasure is so corruptive and so destructive that Jesus says it will choke the word of God out of our life. There's surely some people who have had that work choked out of their life, but they feel okay. People can make compromises in this area, but they still feel like they are fine. The Lord specifically said that we cannot make compromises in regard to our treasure. The wrong kind of treasure will corrupt each person. And Jesus explained this in a little more detail in the 24th verse of Matthew 6. Here he said, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to one and despise the other." And his point was that some try to compromise in the area of God and money. People try to have both a foot in the world and a foot in the church. And God said that this cannot be done. We cannot have God as kind of the priority, but he's either the priority or he's not. We must have a single eye, verse 22. And if you think about that eye illustration, you can relate it to the man who's going down the road. We've seen people like that, at least I have. At times, drivers who are looking in every direction, there is a period of time where he kind of puts his neck like that and he's talking to somebody in the back seat. And then he sees something over to his right, so he turns his head that way. And then there's something over to the left, and he turns his head there. And then he figures out that he's dropped something, so he pokes his head down there underneath the steering wheel. And then he remembers that he wants to write something down, so he pulls down the visor, and he's looking up there for a piece of paper and a pen. And then he thinks, well, there's something in the glove box I need. So he opens that up, and he peers in there. And then he drops his pen, and he's got to sort down by the seat and try to find it. What's going to happen to that kind of driver? He's going to have a wreck. I try to avoid people like that because I know if they compromise on their driving skills, if they're not dedicated to the course, if the eye is not single, they are going to hit someone. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus offers that same kind of warning. If we're looking in this direction and that direction, whether it's money or some other thing in life, if we're not concentrating on Christ, Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, the Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. If we're not looking at Christ and concentrating on Christ, if we're allowing ourselves to be distracted by other things, we're going to compromise the faith. If God is not the most important part of our life, we've made a concession to Satan. And the Lord says in Matthew chapter 6, that concession is going to wreck our life. There is no question about that because Jesus said we cannot serve two masters. It cannot be done. A lot of people try it. A lot of people think that they can get away with it. But the Lord says it will not work. In light of what he affirmed, we ask some very simple questions. Who is our master? Who owns us? Is it money? Is it a job? Is it pleasure? Or would we say, it's God? Who owns us? If we become a Christian and we know for a while we were owned by God, we had him as the priority in our life, but we've left that. We've made a concession that needs to be fixed. If we've never become a Christian, then we're not owned by God. But the Bible says we can be. If we believe in Christ, we can repent of our sins, confess the name of Christ, and be baptized into the Lord's body, 1 Corinthians 12:13, for the forgiveness for our sins. When we stand and sing the invitation song in just a moment, we're begging you to consider this question, who owns me? And if the answer to that question is not God, will you not make it so today? We invite you to do that now as we stand and sing the invitation song.